The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. Your talk radio. We're also streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and that is worldwide, folks. On top of that, we have an archive where you can go back to these programs and listen to them whenever you want in the convenience of your home. And I'm here with Travis. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you.
Don't leave us again.
Oh, yeah, I'll do my best.
Thanks. You doing okay?
I'm doing great, yeah. I love this weather. It's great.
You're losing a lot of weight.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks for noticing something. I don't know what you're seeing. It's coming. I've gained 30 pounds in the past 6 months.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody's feeding you good.
Oh, yeah. Shh, don't tell nobody.
All right. Anyway, I'm in the studio today. I'm pretty excited about this. I'm here with Katie Gorman and Arthur Gorman, and we are excited to have them. So, Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for having us. I'm a kindergarten teacher for Buckeye School in the Gateway School District here in Reading. And We found out about the vaccine mandates coming down first for the nurses, dealing with it with my husband, and just seeing how they were kind of peeled off over time. And first it started with the testing. There was very few people that refused the testing. And then from then on, people said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get the jab. And some people just moved, and the amount of support just kind of waned over time. And watching this happen, I thought, well, when it comes for us teachers, we're going to have to stick together. We're going to have to decide right off the bat that we're going to refuse the testing and just really double down and stick together and get some support. In the meantime, Newsom, I believe, overplayed his hand when he made the announcement for the kids, and the parents were outraged. So a friend of mine texted me and said, we need to have a walkout. From then, I retooled that text message and sent it out pretty much to as many people as I could. And it really took hold because it was bubbling under the surface, and people had decided that their line was their children when it came to these mandates and this overreach from our government. So from there, we had a Dill's Deli rally that ended up was supposed to be 50 people, ended up being 425. And I also, in the process, I had met Martin Reed and his wife Krista. And Martin had written an open letter, and he was so bold and wonderful to do this. He sent it out on his district email, and from then it went viral. And the last line, was something to the effect of, and for me, I will not comply. We had a meeting in his living room with about 20 teachers, and we all decided that, you know, we were just going to stick together. We weren't going to test. And all the people in that room promoted the walkout from there. In Shasta County alone, we were able to get 46% of the students, not in school that day.
And for the folks that aren't aware of this, that are listening in, Where did that take place? Where did the walkout take place? And that was Monday, the 18th of October?
Yeah, Monday, October 18th. Mm-hmm. And we all met at the Sundial Riverfront, I believe it's called Riverfront Park, that amphitheater out there. And a lot of people showed up. We really, really want to get the numbers, but, you know, even the Board of Supervisors was saying 500, 1,000, maybe 2,000. I don't know. There was a lot of people.
I took a count on some of the people that were on the West End, and I didn't even get halfway through, and I got to 450, and I didn't even get halfway through. So I would imagine coming and going, you could have had at least 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Arthur, you are a nurse.
I am.
Yes, and can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in the medical field and how you got with your wife and you guys are, have been cross-pollinating all these different, which I love. This is great because we all have to work together on this. All these issues are one issue, and that's taking our liberty from us. That's what it is. But the one thing I think we ought to start saying, and I'd like to bring this up, and then we'll go to you, Arthur, but I think that we keep saying we will not comply. Well, if you don't comply with something, maybe if it's a, I don't know, some sort of rule. I think we do not submit mm-hmm. because this is tyranny mm-hmm. and never submit to tyranny. Anyway, my friend, go ahead. Tell us something about yourself and what's going on with the medical field here.
Well, my name is Arthur Gorman. I've been a nurse for 13 years. I work at one of the local hospitals here in town. COVID came into our community, you know, almost 2 years ago, and everybody went to work. All the frontline workers who went to work because we love our community and we mm-hmm. want what's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
We went to work and we took care of our COVID patients and our regular patients. And, you know, science changes over time. In the beginning, they told me not to wear a mask because I'd be scaring my patients and their relatives that were in the hospital. And shortly after that, I got COVID. me and my wife were on oxygen for about 5 weeks. And the kids were with us, couldn't send them to Grandma's house because we were scared to send them to Grandma's house. So they just stayed with us. They had no symptoms. They were swimming in the pool and riding their bikes. 5 weeks went by. We came off the oxygen. We went back to work. We took care of our patients. My wife took care, you know, worked through the whole time on Zoom while she had COVID and was on oxygen. Hmm. And we got better. We recovered and we went back to work. We took care of everybody. And then we just kept on working. And taking care of everybody and teaching kids. And I was taking care of the patients in the hospital. In December, before vaccines were even a thing, we ended up getting COVID again, losing our smell and taste and had body aches all over, right? But I take care of COVID patients. That's what I do. No vaccines were available, but I had natural antibodies, so I didn't get sick as I would have. In the beginning, I wasn't on oxygen. And then in January, my wife ended up testing positive for COVID, but all of her symptoms were gone. But they had to do the whole COVID protocol, and since she never tested positive in December, then they treated her like this was the first time. They tested our antibodies, and they said, well, if your antibodies are over 3, that's an old infection, and if it's less than 3, it's a new infection. So sure enough, hers come back less than 3. They're like, yours is a new infection. Mine come back at 5. They're like, yours is an old infection.
I was jealous.
I was like, how does that work? We got sick at the same time. Her symptoms went away before mine. Mine lasted longer.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, so, you know, it just didn't make sense. And at the time they said, well, you can't get vaccine for 90 days after, you know, your positive test. So we just waited and I worked in the COVID vaccine places, the mass vaccine, and we gave hundreds and hundreds of shots to our community. And then we started seeing some side effects from that, and we have a lot of people that saw side effects, and I have a lot of friends that have side effects, and you're going to get a side effect from any medication you take. But I just waited because I said, well, I have antibodies, so they said I didn't need it, and they said I was immune at over 3, and we waited, and the mandates came out in the end of July, and at first they said, oh, well, you can get vaccinated or you can test twice a week. And we said, well, we'll just test twice a week because we want to keep our patients safe. We don't want them to get
COVID. Now, to clarify that, the test results come back within 24 hours when you do that?
No.
No, okay, so I'd like you to elaborate on that, because that seems a little bit ridiculous to me.
So I did my first test, and it took over 5 days for it to come back.
Oh, my gosh.
So by the time my first one came back, I already swabbed for my second one, and my second one took 5 or 6 days.
Were you working during the time after your first test? Were you still working during that time?
Yes.
Well, then how can you have a protocol for something that you don't use. You,
right. Yeah, we have to swab and then send it to the lab, and they send it to somewhere out of state, and then they test it at this big facility, and then they send you results in an email. And if you test positive, then you have to come to the hospital and retest with the PCR test that they want you to test with. And if that's positive, then you are positive. But if it's negative, then the first one was a false positive, and you can continue to work.
Wow. Yeah. How come they don't do tests for antibodies?
You know, we have tests for antibodies.
Well, wasn't that like a something that if people can go in and just get tested for that, and if you're okay? And you,
right. Before the vaccine came out, they said, oh, you have antibodies. You're immune. And everybody would high-five you. You made it through it. Good job, buddy. And now, after the vaccines came out, they just want to discredit the immune response, even though you might have just as much of immune response tested in your blood as someone else. I just checked my T cells, and that came back and said I'm positive for T cells, and T cells are your killer T cells that go after different
bad
things.
Stuff, yeah.
And you can look it up online, and it says if you have T cells, then you're even more immune.
Right.
And here it is, October. Mm-hmm. I got my T cells drawn. I got the infection in December, and I still have T cells and a high level of antibodies. So isn't that enough to say that I'm immune from COVID, or just as immune if someone that had the vaccine?
Yeah. Now, also, you folks in the medical field decided to go to the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County. You went to that meeting. No one showed up. Patrick Jones opened it up anyway. You want to elaborate on that? And then there was also something that happened after that, in that the Board of Supervisors were going to have a special evening for the folks in the medical profession to come in and voice their grievances. And then that got canceled. Could you kind of elaborate on those two things?
Right. So when the mandate first came out, we started, you know, a Facebook page. We got support. We started a petition, which now has over 3,100 people in support of that. We went to Dill's Deli. We got some wet signatures. We have over 1,000 signatures that people are supporting that as well. So we went to the supervisors because we wanted to let them hear our grievances and what we've been going through as healthcare workers, and most of us have been infected over the last 2 years with COVID before, you know, vaccines were available, and so we have this robust immune system. So we wanted their help, and we wanted to see what they could do for us. So we blasted out there into social media, and we said, we're coming on the Tuesday, and so we can let them hear our grievances, because you can only go there on that day between 9 and 12 to air your grievances.
And that was a normally scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting.
Correct.
And then that got canceled.
So they canceled it once they heard that the healthcare workers were coming. And, you know, we're well-educated people that just want to know what they can do for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe they couldn't do anything for us. Maybe they could. But instead, they decided not to hear us, not to hear the people, and just cancel the meeting. So what transpired after that is I had gone and to the next supervisor meeting that they had open, and I just made a simple request for us to come and let them hear us. They said, oh, Mr. Gorman, yes, we'd like to do that. They scheduled the meeting. And then the next week, or the next meeting they had, they said, oh, well, we have this letter that we're going to write the governor. And it wasn't really a strongly written letter, but it was something that they put through, just like every politician would. It's like, oh, we don't agree with you, but there's nothing we can do. We're just going to go with the mandate anyways. And all of us disagreed with it, but it was the only thing they were willing to do at the time. And at the same meeting, they said, we're going to cancel your meeting due to COVID because the spike has increased, even though the 7-day average through the state had gone down. And the same thing happened. The 7-day average in Shasta County was down. They said COVID cases had gone up, so we just need to cancel. So that lasted a month. And I waited till the month got over, and they had another board meeting. I went in there. I said, okay, I'm just here because you promised to hear us out, and I would like to get that scheduled. So Jones and Baugh agreed that we should do the meeting. We should hear whether we can do something or whether we can't do something. We should at least have the meeting for the people to voice their opinion. And then Clemente, Modi, and Rickard all said that we've already sent the letter, and it would be a waste of time to listen to the people.
So it's a waste of time for the people who work for us to listen to our grievances.
Correct. Correct.
Is that right?
That's what they said.
That's what they
it's
said.
It's not a waste of our time. It's a waste of their time.
Well, you know, and that's an amazing thing. Now, the county does have something they call a local state of emergency. Now, we all know that an emergency, the definition of that, and I forget what code it is. I want to say 860 or 861, but it's one of those two. It does state that the only time that there is a state of emergency, and it can be declared, is when the county resources are overwhelmed by the threat. Has Shasta County ever been overwhelmed by a threat?
No.
No, because we've always had the resources to react to that. Now, the thing about the county is last Tuesday, you both spoke last Tuesday, and at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and they were asked to have a motion to stop the local state of emergency because it didn't live up to the criteria for a state of emergency. And again, they voted 3-2 with Comente, Rickard, and Modi saying, well, no, we're not going to do that because of the money. So when we start looking at what's going on with the kids and the teachers and what's going on with our educational system, where do we stand now and where do we push now? Is there going to be another walkout? And could you tell the folks about that? Go ahead, Kitty.
Yeah, I feel pretty proud of Shasta County for showing up, and actually it was statewide, but we were able to get the numbers, you know, 46% walked out on October 18th. That was great to have those numbers coming into the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, that next day. And we also found out that the superintendent of schools, Tony Thurman, actually sent out a Google form to all the districts asking them what their numbers were. So we made some waves. We got some attention. And we we're working on our specific boards, the school boards, because according to the Board of Supervisors, that's the door we should be knocking on. So we're getting together all the information for the different school boards and sending letters to them and letting them know how many students and how many teachers and staff, because schools can't run without some super important supportive staff, so that they would lose. And we're hoping that that gives them, you know, kind of their own state of emergency to go back to the state and say, we can't implement your mandates because our school would suffer too much.
Well, but then again, see, the one thing we look at with these particular three, with Comente, Rickard, and Modi, is they could say, well, gee whiz, you know, we have a lot of people that are quitting in the medical field and we can't keep our schools open. Oh, it just seems to be an emergency. They could actually declare a state of emergency if they can skew the numbers enough. I think that what needs to be done in a lot of cases, and I want you to elaborate on this, Kitty, is the way you're standing between. I really think that the public pressure you put on, the 46%, the marvelous job you've done of these people keeping their kids out of school. Also, Fox News did an interview, which you were on, which was great to watch. And I want you to elaborate on that a little bit, because I really think that the court of public opinion is people have really had enough and they will not submit.
Absolutely. So our focus now, after the attention we got from Fox News, and now I've been able to network with people all over the state. So Martin and I have our own counterparts in almost every single county. So, we're starting to do Monday walkouts. And we're using that time to educate people about, you know, the tyranny that's happening and how much of their own freedoms they have lost, and just kind of go back through everything, help everybody understand that, you know, when Biden gets up there and says mandates are working because people are getting the jab, well, we need to just stand firm and say, no more, we're done, we don't agree with this. We're not doing it. And so we're going to, so our plan is to continue the walkouts every Monday and continue bringing these school boards onto our side and get people to not take on, like, these mandates are illegal. And then they go down to these school boards. They think they can't do anything, but they have an obligation, a moral obligation to stand up. And a lot of them are. We're getting more and more. And as that happens, these mandates don't hold water anymore because people are not going along with them. And so that's our plan, is to just get people to feel the pressure and to also feel supported in order to just say no more.
Well, a mandate's not a law. Because, and that's the one thing I think a lot of people just misunderstand. We do have the separation of powers. We have the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. Now, the legislature is the only people who can make law. The governor can't make law. A mandate is BS. Because basically, it's something to where it gets to the old thing where if I tell you to do something and you do it, and I tell you I might do something to you if you don't do it, but there is no really a real consequence for it, but you're doing it anyway. Now, that's a mandate. And then the mandate becomes a rule because people make it a rule because, hey, you're not following the rules. You're not following the mandate. You're not wearing a mask. You're not getting the jab, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in standing against that, and we've got about maybe 5 minutes until our break, in standing against that, the two of you have united two different – it's great. And the same thing with you know, with Martin and Krista. I mean, you guys have just united a wonderful thing here. And what I think that I love seeing is the way you stood up against tyranny, the way you've stood there and said, no, my child, this is not going to happen to my kid. This isn't going to happen to my community. And I think that movement is hitting a pinnacle here in Shasta County. And I know through the red, white, and blueprint, it's hitting the pinnacle everywhere. And I'll leave it with this, and then I'll go right to you, Krista. Excuse me, Katie. And that is that we had a conference call with several states about school boards. And this was about, maybe 3 months ago. There were seven states involved. There was a school district in Georgia where 1,100 people went to that particular school district. And they went there, and by the time that they were done, a week later, three of the board members were gone. So I think that's the kind of pressure that we need to put on. So what say you?
I just wrote a letter to my school board, and I talked to them about the experiment where the man in the white coat is telling them to zap the guy in the other room. They don't know that the guy in the other room isn't real. 25% of the people in that experiment actually killed that person to the point where they were zapping them even when they were no longer responsive. So I said, you have to stand up. It's a moral obligation. You have to stand between this tyranny and our children. They don't need it. And it's younger and younger people are having more and more adverse reactions to these jabs. So it's not okay. It was very strongly worded. And I said exactly what you were just pointing out, is if you can't be strong, then you need to get out the way. And we need to put somebody else in there who is strong, who is not afraid of the threats that these school boards are getting, which is like they'll lose everything, their own personal property, all this stuff they're telling them. And our superintendents are being told that they're going to lose their credentials. We need those weak people to get out of the way, and the people who are willing to lose it all, like me, I'm willing to lose my job over this. We can get in there and we can make the difference and we can put the stand and say no more.
You know, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that kind of strength that you two have. And this is no BS. All right. I feel really honored to know you two. And I love the idea of all these young people standing, everybody standing for liberty. The most important thing I really like is the cross-pollinating. Because we all have different issues, but they're all the same issue. We will not submit to tyranny. Mm-hmm. We have God-given rights protected by the Constitution. But we have people that we have elected that choose not to follow that path and stand in between. And we might get into the sheriff a little bit, but one thing I do want to talk about a little bit after the break, and that is you know, I want to get clarity, first of all, on what's really going on with the jab in the school system. You know, how far down are they looking? What grades are they looking at? I want to talk a little bit about the curriculum. And also, I think it's important that people who are retired, who don't have kids in school, still have a dog in the hunt. Because the deal is that they have to pay taxes. They're paying for all this. The curriculum that a lot of a lot of folks don't like, the situation a lot of folks don't like, even though you don't have kids in school, and if you are retired and you have time on your hands, those people can go to the school board because people have to work. A lot of the young families have to work. So with that, we're going to go off to our first break. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, it's 605-4567, 605-4567. The time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
He had a southern drawl like a red bone hound, and every word he said was my favorite sound. He'd be the last one off if the ship went down, the kind of man it feels good to be around, the kind of man it feels good to be around. He had hair as white as a cotton field, and he could spin you a story like a wagon wheel. All heart and soul made of steel. Lord, I miss that man, and I always will. I miss that man, and I always will. He'd see through a lie like an old screen door. He taught me how to hunt and how to love the Lord. He carried a Bible.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nurseries open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Psalm 23, when I'm scared to death, a sleeping pill when my mind won't rest, little baby king when the thrill is gone. These are the things that I lean on. God's grace when I'm walking on a dangerous path. 12 steps when I need to find my way back. My mama's voice on the telephone. These are the things that I lean on.
Sally Lou. Good job on the music, honey. My bride who does the music.
She had a different song in there, the, you know, Let's Go Brandon. But there's a lot of the F words in there, so I couldn't play it on the radio.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll have to wait for the podcast.
I Googled it. There was about 75 of them.
Yeah. By the way, I want to let the folks know that tomorrow we have our podcast live on Mountaintop Media, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. It'll be at 9:30 in the morning. Mountaintop Media, which is the media company that produces and does the Red, White, and Blueprint, among many other things. We'll be streaming on Apple TV, which is good. There'll be a lot of different things that are going on here. We're pretty excited about the future with that particular program. Right now, I am here with Katie and Arthur Gorman. And Katie, we're going to go to you first. Tell us about this, you know, clarity on the mandate and the clarity on that, on what's going on with this whole business in these schools, and the age of when these kids are going to be required to get their vaccine.
Yeah, so I watched Governor's Newsom's press release and him talking about it, and he was saying that as early as January 1st, because he expects that the FDA will approve the vaccines for grades 7 through 12 in November. So I don't know what our school districts or some other official documents have been going around saying it would be not until July 1st. So those are the two possible dates, but it could be as early as January 1st. So if it is, say it's approved after January 1st, then the first date of this mandate being in effect would be then the July 1st date. So that's one of the misconceptions. And then it's also been printed and sent out by a lot of districts. And then saying to people, oh, it's not going to be for children ages down to age 5. But it actually is, because it says it in the mandate that once it is FDA approved for children as low as age 5, then that will become a requirement on their vaccination schedule for children as young as kindergarten.
And the FDA also said that they're looking at pushing the age down all the way to 6 months.
Oh, man. How in the hell can you be okay with that out there? I mean, really and truly, I want everyone that's listening to this program right now, and I know there's many, many, many of you, I want you to make sure that you get this out to other people. Send this link out. Let them know they can go to the archive. We're just starting to scratch the surface with this stuff. Katie, I can't believe it. January 1st, down to 6 months? I mean, seriously? I mean, I'm amazed on how composed you two are, because I'm really starting to get pissed.
Yeah, it makes me pretty angry. My son is in seventh grade, so this mandate could affect my seventh grader as early as January 1st. And my daughter is 16, and next year is her senior year. And my daughter has a lot of medical issues in endocrinology, which is one thing that is affecting girls. So I don't want them to get it. I know they don't need it. I've checked their antibodies.
Oh, man.
They do not need it. They also, you know, while my husband and I were very, very sick, they were fine. They had no problems. So, to me, it's unnecessary, and it can cause them some serious harm. And it's, they have tremendous anxiety about all of this as well on top of it, knowing that, you know, they can't go to in-person instruction because they won't be able to get the vaccine. I've had my daughter upset with me for a day and a half wanting to get the vaccine or the jab. I can't even call it a vaccine, but wanting to get it just so that she could have her life to be normal. And that tore me up inside. That was really upsetting. It's tearing up families. You know, people are having to explain to their kids why they can't have it. And the kids are saying, well, but I want to have my life to be normal. So as far as the public, or not the public health order, but the mandate itself, I want people to also know that they're talking about in-person instruction. The vaccine is required for in-person instruction once the FDA
approves
it. In the schools. So some people think that, oh, my kid goes to a Christian school. Well, that's in-person instruction. You will not be able to go. So there's also other people that say, oh, well, you know, there's going to be exemptions available. Well, in the mandate, it says that you won't be able to attend in-person instruction. So it literally says that you can do independent study if you have the exemption. So the time is now. We have to fight this. We don't have time to sit here and say, oh, well, it's not until July, you know, no big deal. But they're saying on here specifically, even with an exemption, you can't go to school. You have to do independent study.
Well, you know, and you talked about the jab. I mean, you know, and Arthur, you of course know this. I mean, you get the jab, then you may need a booster, then another booster, then another booster. And the pharmaceutical companies aren't held responsible. There's no guarantee. You can't sue them. I mean, is that still?
Right. It's true.
It's true. Okay. So would you buy brakes from someone, put your children in the car, drive down the road and the brakes don't work, and you get into a car accident and everybody's hurt, but the people who put the brakes in had no guarantee on it. It's just like, oh, well, kind of the luck of the draw. How is any of that okay? How is any of that sane?
Right.
Arthur, what say you?
So the interesting thing is the FDA for boosters voted 16-2 for no boosters. They already voted for it. And then the CDC overrid them on the boosters.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and the White House was the one that said that they should have boosters. So we're not really following the science. We should listen to our experts at the FDA. Then the CDC can come in and put their two cents in because they're also medical professionals. But we shouldn't have decrees from the White House telling these organizations that deal with science all the time what to do. The thing is, even the FDA agrees that there's natural immunity. There is natural immunity from polio. There's natural immunity from measles. But they said that the bureaucracy is what would tie natural immunity up, because you would have to prove that you had natural immunity with a blood test, and the government's not willing to do that, where they could just allow it and all these people would be fine. The children haven't had a vaccine in almost 2 years, and most of them have already had COVID, so they would already qualify for a natural immunity passport, if you'd call it. We shouldn't have a passport, but they could prove that they had it and they wouldn't need it, and they're more likely to have an adverse reaction, because when you get the vaccine, your immune system revs up because it sees the protein and it attacks the protein. And people that have been naturally infected, even healthcare experts say you probably don't need the vaccine. But if you were to get a vaccine, maybe you only need one, because the immune response you get from just one vaccine is better than people that have two vaccines that never had COVID. So none of it really makes sense, and we just keep on going around this dance. We're not listening.
It's a mandate. The crazy thing is that none of this is legal, folks. None of this is legal. You have constitutionally protected rights. None of this is legal. None of it. Not any of it. And people are following along. It makes me crazy. We do have a caller. Lori, what say you?
Hey, good morning, everyone. I've just been listening the whole time until it started to get to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm sure someone else is going to call in. No, it's like, this is insane. Where are our local pediatricians? Why aren't they coming out into the streets screaming, ranting, and having a royal fit? I am absolutely sick to death that this is still going to the age groups lower, lower, lower. I mean, they're already mixing the COVID shot boosters with the flu shot. They don't care. They're already doing six-month-olds with the same exact adult dose for the flu shot, which I thought we got rid of last year. And now we have these, shedding, or these little things crawling out of the skin, this graphene oxide. This is serious. This is absolutely insane. The boosters make no sense. They keep adding them on. Singapore is now worse than Israel. And where, this is an important question, folks, where is any safety study with all these interactions? If somebody's getting the Tdap or the measles, MMRI, this whole 72 shots from birth until 17, that's about 72 shots. That's supposed to be in a well baby visit on up. How the heck are these COVID insane jabs going to impact and have some kind of weird combination? So everybody that's already taken this COVID, whether it's from Pfizer or Moderna or J&J, what do you think is going to happen if you take the pneumonia shot or a shingles shot or any shot ever in your life? Do you not understand there are no safety studies? Because everything is EAU, emergency use, and that means that's probably going to never go away. So everything's going to be emergency, emergency. Knock it off. I am sick of this. People, pull your kids out if you care about them and you want to save their lives. Okay, so they might be a year behind. Okay, do you want them alive or a year behind?
Thanks, Lori.
That's what I got to say. I'm listening.
Okay, thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Chair.
You know, Mark Kent, who you'll be on the program next. By the way, folks, these two will be on Sovereign Minds once we're done. Mark Kent had brought up about the state of emergency and the local state of emergency and how the supervisors do have jurisdiction over that. When they're saying they don't, they do. You know, and also the local sheriff does have jurisdiction over the fact of what happens in the school district and what happens in the medical district, because their job and their only job as elected officials is to make sure that our God-given rights, constitutionally protected, are protected. That's the only reason for government. There is no reason for government. And I think the thing that people have to understand is the fact that the Constitution doesn't give you rights. The Constitution is the line in the sand for the government on what they can do and cannot do. And anything non-enumerated in the Constitution by the people, by the state, is not something that can be legally done. So I think that, now, getting back to what Lori was saying, can you elaborate on that a little bit? And also, Karen Ranstrom, now, what can she do, number one, in your eyes? And number two, we all know that she works at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. They hire and fire the person in that position. We have to have a person in that position, but they're the ones who hire and fire. Anyway, what say you?
So the thing with Karen Ranstrom and the position that she's in is that other people in different counties that share her same position have gone in a different direction as far as the health care mandate was concerned, whether they were enforcing masks in the school, whether they were making children that play sports have to get tested. So it comes down to that the person in that position can make a difference in their local community by listening to the community members and following the science. There are many doctors out there that agree with natural infection that masks don't work. Cloth masks especially have not worked. The only thing that's good is a surgical mask. And they haven't done a double-blind study to say that the masks are efficient in schools. They just haven't done it. They haven't done the research, and a lot of the scientists, even out of UCSF, are saying that they need to do a double randomized study to say that this stuff is efficient so the public will trust the system again. And we have a big distrust in the public system, especially public health, because of the messaging that they've put out this whole time. Masks, don't mask. Vaccinate, don't vaccinate. They've just flip-flopped back and forth, and so no one really trusts them. So a good public health officer like Karen Ranstrom should do is try to find a way that they can put trust back in the system by educating everybody on all fields. But she doesn't show up to the Board of Supervisors to provide education for anybody. She doesn't host a Zoom where she's calling the community to tell them about all the possibilities of what we should do and we shouldn't do. So that's really what we're looking for. There's several doctors in town that would gladly take your spot to provide that education for the community.
And early treatment.
And early treatment. They've already found out that early treatment works the best. for our patients that have COVID. There's only a small percentage of people that get COVID that actually have respiratory symptoms, and those patients would benefit from steroids and monoclonal antibodies. If they just gave them those two things and we didn't restrict that from people and we gave them early intervention, they probably would never end up in the hospital, and there's several studies that say those two medications would that would help. Even with people that got the jab and people that didn't get the jab, we wouldn't see that number in the hospital if we provided early treatment. So public health could make a gigantic difference, allowing doctors to prescribe early treatment.
We do have a call on the line. Dick, what say you?
Hey, morning. I want to remind people who haven't had the taken the vaccine that they have a definite advantage over people who have. And that advantage is that if you've never been vaccinated, you can go down any time you want and get jabbed as many times as you want. But later down the road, if you have received the vaccine and they find out that a majority of people, a lot of them are coming down with some strange illness and they think it's related to the vaccine, no way can you go down and get unvaccinated. So don't give up your advantage. Just stay unvaccinated or you're going to lose your advantage. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
Thanks, Dick. Anyway, that's a really good point about Karen Ranstrom. And, you know, I think that a lot of this really is whether people are going to comply or not, or, again, submit or not. And, you know, what's legal and what's not legal? See, sometimes things are legal, but they're not lawful. And sometimes things are law, but they're not legal. So that's why in the California Constitution, we have Article 3, Section 1, very simply saying that the state of California recognizes the Constitution of the United States of America as the supreme law of the land, and California is an inseparable part of that. So what that means is the Constitution of the United States trumps, no pun intended, yeah, there's a pun intended, trumps the California Constitution. So therefore, California can't create anything in their Constitution that is outside the confines of the United States Constitution. All of this is, every bit of it is, the separation of powers. As you both know, Gallagher and Kiley sued and won against the governor because of the issue of separation of powers. You see, the governor can't make law. And we still continually, I mean, to me, not only have you people made just such a great stand, and brought forth great invigoration to the rest of us and given us encouragement. But the real deal is, I'm surprised you're so composed. I'm amazed on your composure and how you're able to do that. So how does that work? I mean, you know, just as folks, you guys churn a little bit every so often?
Well, I've thrown my phone a few times. especially when I saw the actual public health order about teachers and the testing. When you read this, you guys gotta look it up. It's right there on the .gov website. It's all about tracking us unvaccinated people. And that, to me, was, you know, that's what told me that's where my stand is. Before I realized, you know, it was when everybody was galvanized and everybody was on board and everybody was together, if we stuck to our guns and did not do the testing. But then I read the public health order and I literally did throw my phone. Glad it's okay. But it's talking about there's this CDC yellow card system, if you do have a vaccine card, and then it's talking about people who are unvaccinated being required to do these testing, and then it says that you have to, the school districts themselves have to have a way of tracking the unvaccinated employees and put them into digital system. It says, and then it has like, it says that they even are providing funds for them to do this. And, to me, that was where I said, okay, where is this leading? When you're tracking people, you know, who are unvaccinated.
Healthy people.
And then it also says, which is not what the hospital is doing, it says you don't get a pass after getting COVID. You don't get a pass for 90 days of not getting tested, which they are doing at the hospital. And Arthur, can you explain to people why that is?
So you can, after getting COVID, you can shed the virus for up to 90 days, but even beyond, some people have been shedding the virus for 5 months, not meaning that you can be infected with it. It's just your body has to go through a process of eliminating the infection, and it just, you can shed the dead virus for that long. So you could test positive for 3 months, some people up to 5 or 6 months. So you really have to think about that, because you shouldn't be testing if you still have, you know, dead form of the live virus inside of you, and it's picking it up on that PCR test, and then you're just back in COVID isolation again, even though you're not sick. They're just keep on tracking you even further.
So it's inflating the numbers, and you have to ask yourself why.
Control.
Yeah.
Control. I mean, it's all about control. And I think one thing, it's very important that, you know, you can find these little pocket constitutions, folks. It's, you know, it's about 35 pages, unlike the California Constitution, which is rather arduous and long and thick and couldn't fit into a pocket form. It's important that we know what our rights are. It's important that we understand what we can do. And it's also important to think that, and I think this is something that we need to remember, that is, if it doesn't make sense to you, and someone's trying to tell you something, don't go along with it. If it doesn't make sense to you, it's up to that person who is explaining to you the issue or subject they want you to understand to where you understand it. They're conveying it to you. So you need to go ahead and question everything. You need to question and look at it. And we have about 3 minutes left or so. So I'd like to give you, you know, approximately 2 minutes each. Ladies first.
I guess the biggest thing that I want, the biggest takeaway that I want people to realize is, this is going to continue, and we have to realize that it's going to get uncomfortable. Our lives are not going to be the same that we had before coronavirus, and we are going to have to resolve ourselves to be uncomfortable and to get out in the streets. And maybe even lose our jobs, but we have to put our foot down. We have to get people on board and make a stand.
And it's really important that people know that they are coming for us in different categories at different times. Every 3 to 4 months, they're coming from a new group. So they came for the healthcare workers, then they came for the educators and the government workers. Now they're coming for the children. After that's going to be the private sector and the churches. And so in order to inactivate change, people have to be activated. They have to get involved, and they have to go to their local school boards, and they have to be involved in those meetings. Now, if those people don't listen to you and you can't get that onto an agenda item that can be voted on, then you need to recall them, or you need to run for their position and just get them out. Same thing with your city council. We're going to do the same thing. We're either going to recall these city council members, or we're going to replace them when it comes time to vote, and especially the county supervisors that have the power. So if we can't recall them because they won't vote in our favor, then we'll just replace them the next time it's time to come. So in order to get the change we want, you actually have to be involved. You have to show up. You have to go down there to those board meetings, and you have to email, you have to call, you have to do everything you can to get the change that you want.
Well, you too, it's really been a pleasure. It's been great, and we'll do this again. We'll also do a podcast here soon. And if you're both open to that, are you open to that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. So I think in closing, the thing we have to realize is that when people like this young couple are willing to stand, what about the rest of us? They're willing to stand and sacrifice everything, understanding that they will not submit to tyranny. You know, at what point do we want to sacrifice our liberty and our freedom for comfort or for a position of the government taking care of us? You know, I think that the Great Awakening is happening now. We've had different subjects we've talked about with the Second Amendment, how important that is, but also the pen is also mightier than the sword. And so what we need to do is we need to voice our opinion, stay strong, and you too are a blessing to this community. So what we need to do, folks, is we need to stand, back these young people. If you're retired, you have all kinds of time on your hands. Better than yelling at the TV or, like Katie, throwing your phone, which I don't blame her one bit. I'm on my third one. In fact, I buy cheap ones because they break. Anyway, with that, I think we'll go off to the end of our program here. Stay tuned, because Katie, an author, will be right back on Sovereign Minds. Time has come for 51. Let's get her done.
It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.